So just take a moment or two to
sense how you are right now. You may need to adjust your bodies to bring some ease or comfort after sitting still. Just getting a sense of how it is to be in your experience right now. We may come with a sense of stress and busyness into a day like this from our lives. Maybe feeling at ease and having enjoyed a sunny Saturday, or maybe not. But just however you are, just being in touch with that. And I'd like to invite you to take a moment, if you wish, it's not required, but it could be interesting, just to take a moment to look around and see who's here. Not that you need to know who they are, but just the fact that this room is full of human beings, amongst other things. And what that's like for us. You know, it can sometimes be a little bit awkward or strange, or I didn't come here to have to look at other people or engage with them. I was going to be silent and avoid all of that, please. Or it might be, and that's fine, or it might be that there's a sense of, well, how curious. Look at these interesting things. I was teaching a day yesterday in Oxford, and it struck me at one point. And similarly today, in fact, the sense of if one should encounter in the wild a creature like this that one had never seen before. Imagine walking in a park, having never seen something with two legs and this particular shape. What would our response be? We're like, wow, what an amazing creature. What an incredible thing. But only because we've been looking at these kind of things ever since we can remember, we tend to just think that's another one of those. But it's not. It's actually, wow, look. If you see a creature, one doesn't. I saw a beautiful heron when I was on the train going to Oxford yesterday, just as we went past a lake or a pond, and really just enjoying the sense of I don't get to see them very often. It was a big one. And just that, wow. Imagine if we saw each other. Wow. Human being. And equally other creatures. It's easy to live a little removed from the sense of the preciousness and the beauty and, in fact, the mystery of what it is that we are. And this turning towards or orienting towards that which is potential, which is wholesome, which is beautiful, I think has a way of maybe reminding us to remember, to look and see, oh, this is someone who's chosen to give this day to spiritual practice. You could see oneself this way too, but it's like, wow, there's something noble there. There's something worthy of respect, of admiration even, in this. And likewise with ourselves. Just what is it to look at those around us in this way? It's easy to often feel that we're kind of different or separate or isolated from others, and yet probably the people who are here, even if you don't know any of them, share some really important things in common with you that result in them ending up here. That they value something here. They recognize something that brings them here. That we might notice isn't always valued or recognized in the world as frequently or as often as we might wish. So, something really important about honouring what's here, in terms of allowing us to develop in a wholesome and a skillful way good qualities, to acknowledge what's already here is important. The sense of doing this with one's day, it's actually non-harming. This is a really non-harmful activity. And, you know, we might take that for granted, but wow, that's actually beautiful. It really is. Imagine how this world would be if everyone took one day, just one day, and did this. How that might change this world. Of course, maybe that's not going to happen tomorrow or today, but just that sense of what is this representing, what is this extending into the world, to start to sense that our life is, it's like a center point from which ripples flow out. And this activity and this day is also a center point, or a location from which ripples flow out. So that what we're doing here is, at one level, just for this and for now and for here, but it's also not just that. It has a sense of a wholesome outflow, a wholesome ripple that moves into the world, that we're part of bringing into being by our participation here. So, let's do some walking meditation. I think most of you are familiar with this practice, and since I'm noticing myself speaking quite a lot because of the themes I've chosen to pick up, I'll just give some brief instructions for this. To be present in walking is to simply know as we walk that we're walking. Find a place where you can walk back and forth, maybe 5 to 15 yards or meters in length, and just get to know that experience, what it's like to put your feet on the ground, to lift them up and take a step, one step at a time, walking back and forth. Find a pace that allows you to connect with the experience, to feel your feet on the ground, to sense the contact with the earth, to notice what it's like to feel the breeze or the sun on the skin as you walk, and the presence of the world around you. But having, again, that sense of initially focusing on just being with the experience of walking, just as we did with the sense of the body breathing in the sitting, but an openness to what comes, an openness to what's around us as we do this. And so there'll be this time for walking where we're not producing anything, we're not going anywhere, and yet we might have a sense of, well, what's in this practice? What are we cultivating? Well, what's wholesome? Again, it's something harmless. Doesn't cause any harm to walk on the grass. Being aware if there are little creatures there, to not walk on them so far as one can. And they'll be really grateful for that consideration and sensitivity. And the sense of cultivating something wholesome, again, and that quality of presence, of attentiveness, of connection with where we are. This is really the container in which everything else grows. This is really the framework for the garden of the heart. And I will undoubtedly have some more to say on that, but for now I'll really give this back to the silence. And so, walking meditation. Please take a moment if you need to make yourself comfortable. Just want to say a couple more things at this point, and also just speak about in a moment how I'd like to do the lunch, which will be a little different than normal. So one of the parami is renunciation, letting go. It's not a popular one in the West often. We tend to think of it sort of like deprivation, like, you know, all the things we have to get by without, and that's not really what it's about. It's more like seeing what it is that truly serves us. We learn to let go of that which doesn't serve us. And sometimes it's useful to go against our sort of familiar habits and patterns. There's a renunciation involved in just sometimes doing something differently that's maybe less comfortable for us. Sort of like willing to choose something that feels true rather than comfortable. That's a lot of what renunciation is about. We don't make comfort the primary object. And it's interesting, as meditators, we can sometimes get quite good in the context of meditation, of being able to be renunciates about, well, I can sit here even if it's not comfortable, or I can, you know, be silent for a whole day, or not, you know, turn on my mobile for a whole day and feel like there's something, and there is something very worthy in that. But we can also kind of get comfortable in the ways we do that. So interestingly for myself, I was noticing sitting here during the last sitting that, having drunk quite a bit of water and a cup of tea this morning and been talking to people through the walking period, that my bladder was quite insistently suggesting that there was something it needed to do. And my normal response would be to say, well, actually I'm sitting, so I'll just sit and be with that experience, which will be fine. Perfectly valid response. But then what I realized was, in fact, oh, actually that's what I always do. And actually, there's something possibly interesting to be explored that requires a letting go in a range of different ways here. And interestingly, the biggest letting go is to say, well, will that have any effect on anyone else? To let go of needing to be here and the role that I occupy in this moment is very interesting. And I kind of wondered, well, sure, if someone else got up and walked out, people might notice, but what would happen if the person at the front disappeared? And would people wonder if he was coming back? It was quite a long visit. Direct proportion to the amount of water, I guess. So sometimes stepping out of our comfort zone is really useful. And it's actually one of the most powerful tools that the Buddha offered us for working with our hearts and our minds in terms of bringing forth what is wholesome and beneficial. And so this particular one, I'm going to give us an opportunity to explore it at a very practical level today. I'd like to invite you to do so. And there'll be a number of other different qualities, including, I think, equanimity and patience, and also generosity that will be part of what we have the opportunity to cultivate. And I'll explain more of it as we go, but with regard to the lunch period, what I'd like you to do, and in a few moments there'll be time for those who are organising it to do so, a few minutes later than scheduled, but not too far out, I hope. What I'd like us to do when the bell rings is to come in, and as most of you are familiar with, take a little food. But just take a little food of something you might like to eat, but don't assume that you're going to eat it, and stand around the perimeter of the room with your plate, or the plate might be perhaps a more accurate expression. You might be able to see where this is going, so I don't need to keep you on tenterhooks here. The food you take and put on a plate will not be the food you receive to begin your lunch. And just notice where that might lead you to begin with. Food is something we tend as Westerners to be in the fortunate circumstance of controlling how much we get, what we get, when we get it. And even just having to wait until someone rings a bell for it is pretty hard work for most of us. Yeah? So, in the tradition, there's a way in which food is taken out of the hands of the monastic practitioners. Out of their control, shall we say. It's not taken out of their hands. It's put into their hands. And I'd like to just explore what that might be like for us here together. So, just take a little food, because whoever eats it may not be that hungry. Who knows? Don't get too worried about whether it's going to be the right food for them. Choose something you might like to eat. And see what that's like. And just take a little. There'll be time to go back and get some more afterwards for those who want. If you choose to. And so just take some food, and also not taking too much means it'll happen a little more quickly, because there's no doubt this is going to add complication and various other things to the lunch process, but I think that could be okay. And just stand around the perimeter of the room in something like a circle, if we can manage it, I think we'll probably fit, with the plate of food. And then I'll say a little bit more as and when that's happening. Is that reasonably clear? What's suggested? So also, If you can manage to either wash your hands before you go in or serve the food with the implements, because as I say, rather than just grabbing it and thinking it's going in your mouth, which we often do, just having a sense of respect around that. What is to take some food that you might really like to eat? And for those of you who may be concerned with regard to food allergies and such things, I think we can handle that. And I have a food intolerance in one realm, I think we can do that. So please don't be too concerned. And also don't spend the next half an hour thinking about this.